Hey, it's Kim Commando Today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
I always like to kick things off with something super interesting. And now all new iPhones, they have a button on the side. It's called the action button. So you can program it to do, well, whatever you want. Mine is programmed right now to silence the ringer. Super handy when you're a national talk show host, right? But one savvy TikToker probably has come up with the best use ever for this button. One push orders his blonde roast and chai tea latte when he's within 100 meters of a Starbucks. Now, it gets smarter. After 11 p.m. and he's not near a Starbucks, that button can turn all the lights off at his place. Any other time, if he's not close to a Starbucks, it toggles his do not disturb. All right, now that's a button working overtime. And speaking of Starbucks, this man was getting served right in front of me at Starbucks, and he asked for a mocha. And the gal says, "Sorry, sir, we're out of mochas." And this guy goes crazy. He says, "I have a mocha every single morning when I come here. This is BS. All right, fine, just give me a latte." So he went, sat down, grumbling the whole way. So I went up to the counter and I said, "You know what? I'll have a large latte too, please." And the gal asked me for my name. So I said, "My name's Mocha." Oh my gosh. You should have seen his head whip around when she's like, "Mocha? Mocha?" Yeah, that's right. Hey, on that happy note, you're about ready to get more tech smarts because every single thing is now a tech thing. And if you're a brand new listener to the Kim Commando Show, welcome. We're so glad to have you with us. And if you're already a listener, welcome back. You can find my award-winning show on over 420 top stations throughout the United States. Of course, we're streaming in your favorite radio app. Just search for my last name, Commando. And you can find us as a podcast or a webcast commercial-free over at commando.com. Just hit that big old button that says Commando Community. And yes, I did say commercial-free. Now, if you're listening on the radio, we love that. Just a reminder, you can also get Kim Commando Today as a podcast Monday through Friday. Just search for Commando with a K wherever you get your podcasts. And our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And just a quick reminder, if you're just too dang shy to come on a big-time radio show and podcast, I get that. You can always email me your questions over on the website. Just hit that link that says email Kim. Yeah, funny how some things work in tech. Every single day, I check out at least 35 different websites to make sure that we're both up to date on all things digital. And here are the top five things you need to know right now. And let's start with a scenario. Whether it's social media or the news media, do you personally trust anybody? Okay, if your answer is no, here's why you're not alone. Regardless of your political leaning or religious preferences, as Americans, our confidence in social media and all these tech billionaire executives has just plummeted. But wait, there's more. Only 7% say that they have any real trust in American mass media. That's really talking about the news media there. So regardless of age, gender, political, or religious affiliation, it turns out we have no confidence in what we see, what we hear, what we read, and no one believes anything on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Now, all this comes from Gallup and Pew Research. So America is now officially a nation of cynics and skeptics. They say we're exhausted, we're not inspired, we're not entertained, and just waiting for someone or something to believe in, like me. Don't worry, I'm not running for president. All right, number two on our list, let's talk about Netflix, because earlier this year, you know, they cracked down on password sharing, and tens of thousands of angry customers threatened to cancel their subscriptions unless their adult children, retired moms and dads and grandparents and cousins, anybody else, could continue to freeload off of one Netflix password. So let's fast forward. What really happened? Despite all the cancellation noise, Netflix gained the most new subscribers ever. Now, for shareholders, the company posted its best quarter for subscriber growth in so many years. And after only a few weeks of being without the programs, all those who canceled, guess what? They came back, and more did too. Number three on our list is Tesla. Okay, I would never tell you not to buy a Tesla, but here are two vital facts you need to know. Before buying a Tesla, you should know about the dangers of autopilot. That's their so-called self-driving feature. Okay, in my opinion, having owned a Tesla and tried it out, autopilot is so dangerous. Around 20 people have died in autopilot-related crashes. I use the word around because an official number from 2021, that's what it is. But there have been other fatalities since then, and a federal investigation is underway. But that's not all. Now the feds are investigating Tesla for exaggerating the car's range. So what is the actual range of a fully charged Tesla? Guess what? No one knows. Confused customers have been flooding Tesla's customer service lines asking why their car's range is not what they were told. At Tesla, things just keep getting worse, and that stock just plunged this past week too. Moving on to number four, let's talk about Apple. The right to repair movement began with American farmers. They were just being totally ripped off by large farm equipment companies like John Deere, who refused to sell them parts to repair their own equipment. And Apple worked pretty much the same way until now. After decades of opposing the rights to customers to be able to fix their own devices, Apple has been forced to change its tune. California's Right to Repair Act now covers electronics and appliances made and sold after July 1st, 2021. So it requires Apple and others to make repair parts available for 7 years after the initial production of the device. Now, of course, you know, I know what you're thinking. Kim, electronics have microscopic parts. They can't be repaired. Yeah, I know. But if you break your phone screen, if you're handy, you may be able to save yourself a few bucks and do it yourself. But I say maybe because it still might be cheaper to let Apple do it. And finally, this coming in at number five. In cities everywhere, police are warning about phone calls or texts that appear to be from local law enforcement. Now, the caller claims that you have totally failed to make a court appearance. There's a warrant out for your arrest. But if you just pay the fine, everything's going to be resolved. Okay, don't fall for it. If there's a warrant, local police or the feds are not going to call you. They're not going to text you. Instead, you may get somebody to hand deliver a notice or maybe get a certified mail. Another big scam comes way as a text from the post office. It claims that they have a package for you, but they can't deliver it until you update your address. Just click the link in the text, it says. All right, the post office, they don't send any text messages. Why should they? They are the post office, right? Oh, gosh. Now, let me tell you something. The problem with telling jokes about the post office is this. It's always days before you people get them. Oh, I heard you groan on that one. I did.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements, but your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before, and your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit CISecurity.org to play your part.
All right, let's go over to the phones. Let's see who should be first today. How about Regina in Las Vegas, Nevada? Hello there, Regina.
Well, I'm just calling you because I need a little bit of your advice. I have a piece that I've been kind of in a forced compliance mode at work.
Ooh.
And it's an app that they're asking me to download on my phone, my personal and private phone, that records and collects and archives every single text message, conversation, et cetera, I have with anybody within my organization and also my private communication with, you know, anybody in my call lists. And I'm not happy.
I don't blame you. I would not want my employer to see all my personal text messages and my contacts and what I do and probably where I go. That seems pretty creepy and wrong to me.
Yes. So that's why it's called telemessage. And I did some, you know, deep diving rabbit hole research, as you would say. And I wanted to know what your take on this was.
What kind of business is this? Is it a healthcare? Because telemessage is really out there for enterprises in certain industries that want to keep track of, as you mentioned, messages, phone calls with clients, that sort of thing.
It's a FINRA-regulated company, so it's compliance by FINRA.
I see. Okay. All right. They may need to put something like this on your phone in order to be in compliance, you know, how that whole money train goes downhill, right?
Correct. This is my concern.
And So what kind of phone do you have?
I have an Android.
Okay. A couple of ways that you can fix this. Number one, you can get a new job, right? Okay. That would be, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, maybe you don't want to do that. You can get a separate device, mm-hmm. which is always a pain in the neck because who wants to carry around two phones, right? I mean, That's not any good. What you can do on an Android, though, is you could set up a work profile. And I'm not sure if telemessage would work in a restricted environment like that. But when you set, it's kind of like you set up like, this is my, if, on your one phone, you'll have like, this is my personal phone and this is my work phone. And mm-hmm. almost like a virtual machine type of thing. And so whenever you get a notification on that work profile that you fire up that work profile and then you can, and when you're working during the day, you're doing text messages or calling or emailing or whatever you're doing, is that everything's being tracked in that app. And then when it comes time for you to, you know, let's just face it, buy stuff on Amazon, okay? Talk to the kids, your significant other, whatever it may be. Play Wordle, is that you're going to use that on your personal profile. So I'm sure you have an IT person. Have you asked the IT people about this?
They're not. They're just telling me, download this and do what you're told. And it's not very friendly. And I haven't reached out to them because I'm not getting the friendly warm and fuzzies. So I just thought I'd reach out to you being the expert in this field, somebody outside my organization that would be able to really give me this, lowdown.
Yeah. Really your options, Regina, are get a separate phone. And it doesn't have to be an expensive phone, right?
Okay.
Or you set up a work profile.
That was the line I was thinking as well. I just feel it's an invasion of my privacy. And, I have friends that are at work and they're telling me now I have to communicate with them on this app if I'm not at work. And I think that's just overstepping and overreaching quite personally. And
there's some policy, something that is making them go down this road.
I understand.
I mean, I personally, I'd be like, this doesn't feel right to me. Regina, I mean, we don't have any privacy anymore as it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, this is true.
I mean, it's just, everything's being tracked. And now it's like, well, there's always that separation of church and state. And this is where I think that we have to draw that line. And so, do you want me to send you the steps to set up a work profile?
That would be awesome because I think I'm going to have to do, I'm just going to have to take one of the two steps that you mentioned and just go with it because I just feel this is overreaching and I personally just think that I shouldn't have to share my private information with anybody and they shouldn't be able to archive it in their, in their servers. I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, because, who knows what they might find and...
Well, my biggest concern is, I take a phone call from my daughter in the middle of the day and I'm at my work hours. Do they track that and say, you're not working? You know what I mean? This is the kind of stuff I'm worried about. How far will they go with this? How far can they go with this?
Yeah. And it comes down to the tracking too, because let's say you get a notification from CVS that your prescription's ready. Okay.
Correct.
And you're like, whoa. It reminds me of the store loyalty cards. When you go to the supermarket and unless you give them a phone number or some information, you're going to pay more. And then when you check out, that the clerk looks at you and goes, oh, you saved $72.12. And I always sit there, I'm like, well, that's because you jacked up the price, So this way I would give you my phone number. But, there have been those cases where there is a car accident. And and they pull up whatever the person purchased over the last 3 months and they say, maybe the car accident was because, you're an alcoholic. Look at everything that you've purchased, So I'm going to put you on hold. And Amber, if you will, send Regina the steps where it says setting up a work profile so that this way we can... at least point you in a direction. If you need any help afterwards, Regina, I'm always here for you. And again, thanks for your call. You know, speaking of recording, I just saw a stat the other day and I was trying to figure it out about employers and data retention and privacy and things like that. Now, if people are working from home, about 64% of the people who are working from home say that, hey, it's okay if my employer tracks what I do on my computer. They look at my email and see what I'm doing, you know, for 8 hours a day. But if those same people go into the office, that 64% turns into 47%. So 47% of people say that they're okay recording in the office and 64% at home. So I guess if you're working from home, maybe it's expected that your employer is going to track you. I don't know. But speaking of tracking, let's switch gears just a little bit and let's talk about keyloggers. Now, keyloggers are these programs that record all the keys that you press when you're just typing away. I mean, it's different than maybe the tracking that we were talking about with Regina. And it's no surprise that criminals will just plop them on your devices to steal your info. But there are some ways to find out if you have been infected with one. Okay. And of course, we're talking about keyloggers that IT departments that may use to track and monitor, and parents use them to keep tabs on what the kids are doing on their phones, their tablets, their computers, and that. But for cyber thieves and snoops, they're a tool to spy on you and steal your data. And what's worse, they're really difficult to spot, but not impossible. So here's what you want to do. First, you check your computer, your device, your phone, whatever, for any unfamiliar programs or apps. Now, if you don't recognize the name of something installed, what I want you to do is just do a quick search on Google to figure out what the heck that thing is. Next, check your phone. If the battery life has just taken a nosedive, that's a telltale sign that it's infected with something. So look for some surprises like any unexpected charges on your bill and apps that you didn't install. Now, to get rid of a keylogger, it's best to use a solid anti-malware program. Now, you can also do a complete factory reset. Just make sure you back up all your photos and all your special stuff, important stuff up in a cloud account. But if you're looking to find some links for some anti-malware programs to find these keyloggers, we have links to the best one over at commando.com. That's KOMANDO.com.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements, but your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before, and your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit CISecurity.org to play your part.
Okay, let's talk about your home. If you are selling your home right now, which I know it's really difficult because the interest rates are so high, but if you ever had your home listed for sale, maybe it's one that you just purchased, is I want you to make sure that you go onto these real estate websites and just get rid of any type of revealing data. A recent study from the University of Washington took a look at popular real estate websites for this privacy risk. What they found that on these virtual tours, they looked at 44, every single one had at least one piece of private information on display. I'm talking about a diploma, photos, letters, you name it. Now, this is a big win for scammers to steal your identity or maybe to start conducting some of these phishing attacks. And also, wow, many home listings have entire floor plans. Oh, big problem there. So without scoping your house out, thieves know exactly which window door to use to quickly grab a computer, a big screen TV, a jewelry box, what have you. So here's what I want you to do. Do a deep dive into what you're sharing online. You could be giving away a lot of details about your home that you wouldn't want. And the first step is always to go to these real estate websites. Of course, I'm talking about Zillow, Redfin, Realtor, and claim your house because that's when you can start removing some of the details. All right, moments away from a great tip. And I'm talking about really a great tip. These are some genius tech life hacks that nobody else will tell you in this entire world except for me. And then later on, we're going to talk about how your Wi-Fi can help in an emergency, something to keep in the back of your mind. And let's see, back to the phones we go with Joseph in Portland, Oregon. Hi there, Joseph.
Hi, Kim. I'm so glad to talk to you. It's great. I love your show and your newsletters. And I have a question about, and hopefully some other people are asking this too. You've talked already a lot about security today and the new technologies, you know, coming out soon using biometric authentication, which I'm thrilled with. It seems that it's still early. I mean, it's just coming now. And so my question is, I use a VPN. I love the VPN. It's the one that you
sure ExpressVPN. Yes.
Yep, ExpressVPN. I love it. Then their support is worth it. They have great support. But anyway, I'm still paranoid about it. And in my last job, I'd had a hardware encryption key.
Mm-hmm.
And Yubico, I think, is one of the ones.
Yeah, that's a big one. They've been around for a long time.
Well, I bought one, and I could not get it to work on my Mac at all. And probably it's me, and probably it's them, but I tried mm-hmm. for a week, and I couldn't get support. Couldn't get it to work. So I guess my question is, you know, is it still, you know, and everything is always relevant to time, but is it still a good idea to try and use a hardware encryption key or, you know, just wait for the new technology to proliferate? I mean, it's a kind of an odd timing.
Yeah, it is. We're in the middle of a transition from passwords to biometric identities.
Yeah.
You know, I've thought about using USB security keys for years. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just never thought, like, well, do I really need this? I mean, you know, the whole idea is that you're going to plug in the key into your device and then bingo, bango, you're authenticated, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, so you've got Google has their Titan. Kensington has something called Verimark. There's the Nitro key.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the Yubico. I mean, are you a Secret Service agent or anything like that?
No, it's just, I just do a lot online, all my finances, my retirement, all my banking.
Everything. Well, you know, okay. And that's important. I mean, if you're doing all your banking, your financials, your trading stocks, doing things like that, you know, my recommendation is that you have two machines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you only do your financial on one and then you do all your other stuff, surfing, shopping, whatever else you want to do, browsing, AI, whatever it may be. Is that you do that on the other machine. And I throw in AI because right now, Bing, owned by Microsoft, in order to make some extra money, because, you know, Microsoft doesn't have enough money, is
sure.
that they are putting ads inside Bing search results.
Yeah.
And some of those search results are directly attached to malware. So you think that you're like, oh gosh, this is really great. Bing is giving me a download, and you're like, not so much.
Oh my gosh!
You know, I'm not a big fan of the keys. I've never really felt a need for myself to use one, so I find it hard to recommend one for you.
Okay.
Because I think that if you are setting up two-factor authentication, you have passwords that are different on each and every account. You keep your systems updated. You have, like you said, you're using a VPN. You've got a security software. You know, we've got a lot of things that are going on right now. And if you're on a Mac, they also have Private Relay. You know, there's my email. There's a lot of things that are going on. I'm not sure that this is a technology that is the future as much as a technology that is now in the past. And I would hate to have my money wrapped up in a USB key, if that tells you anything. So, Joseph, just keep doing what you're doing. I think you're going to be great. And thank you for your call. You know, these keys used to be really popular, but not so much anymore, especially as pass keys are coming out. If you're wondering what those are, we've got some tips over at commando.com. Both Apple and Google are rolling them out, along with Amazon. All right, these are some tech hacks that nobody else is going to tell you. Okay, let's talk first about those grocery loyalty cards. Of course, if you don't use one, you're going to pay more. And so what I do is I use my office phone number as my loyalty number. And if the store needs an email, I give them a disposable one. Now, what you can do is just ask for the discount anyway. Cashiers, they usually have a code to charge a digital price, and this way you don't have to belong to some loyalty program. And let's talk about news. If you ever go online or maybe somebody shares an Apple News link with you and you're like, oh, I can't get to there. I think it's a paywall or whatever it may be. Just do a Google search for the title. You can almost always find that story for free without having to go to the original site. Now, there's also some tech that you can't trash. I'm talking about batteries, especially lithium ion batteries. Always need to take those to a hazardous waste collection center. Also, your TV. It's packed with glass, lead, hazardous materials. And let's not forget relics like those old glass thermometers. Yeah, you can't throw them away either. Now, if you want to quickly speed up your phone, close the tabs. Yes, on your iPhone, open Safari. Press the two overlapping squares icon, and then a pop-up appears and close all your tabs. On Android, if you're a Chrome user, just say, hey, G-word, I'm not going to do that. Close all tabs. Now, in case you missed any of that, you want to read it, head over to commando.com. We've got the link posted right there on the homepage.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements. But your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before, and your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit CISecurity.org to play your part.
All right, Lynn in Columbia, South Carolina.
Well, I am a fan, have been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
And I know you may hear this a lot, but a lot of people really appreciate what you do to make it where we can understand it, put it that way. But I take care of my parents, and I had a security system put in last summer for them.
Okay.
Now I need something. I bought a driveway sensor.
Okay.
Which lets them know somebody's coming up the driveway, but they can't get up fast enough to see who it is. So I bought a Blink camera, but the Wi-Fi isn't strong enough to reach the camera. And so my dad's on a walker, and my mom can get up and about, but they still just cannot see who's coming up the driveway.
I see. Okay. All right. I understand. And so how far do you think that driveway is to the house?
Well, I bought the quarter mile sensor.
Okay.
But I'm thinking 250 to 300 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To where the router and all that is.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I would do is that what you can get is an outdoor security camera that works on cellular. You're going to get an outdoor security camera that works on cellular, and then it's also solar powered. So this way it's kind of like its own standalone job. It's just sitting right out there. And this way that your mom and dad can get a notification on their phone, what have you, on their tablet that says, you know, there's motion been detected. And then this way they would have ample time to get to the door or to see, you know, who's coming up the driveway. Have you thought about actually putting a physical gate there?
Well, there is a gate there.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, there is a gate, and I had heard you talk about something. I'm trying to keep the cost down for them.
Okay.
And because I had checked out the trail cams, and they have the three different kinds, you know, one with a card, one with cellular and all that. But it can be anywhere from $10 to $20 a month. And when the security company came out and I asked them what I could do, they wanted $600 per camera.
Ooh.
and they were talking about line of sight.
Okay, now let me go back to the gate. Is there a bell with this gate that, you know, somebody can push a button to open the gate automatically?
It's a little clicker.
Okay. What I'm thinking is, I wonder if there's a way that you could program so that there's a Ring doorbell camera at the gate. Okay.
Right.
And so when somebody rings that doorbell, you get, mom and dad will get a notification that somebody's at the gate because they have to ring that bell to open that gate. Okay. And then from the Ring camera and with the gate operational is that they can open the gate or they can say, no, you're not allowed in.
And the thing is, everybody that has a clicker, you know, nobody wants to get out and push a button. They just click it and they come in.
No. Let me back up. Okay. Picture with me the gate, Lynn.
Okay? Right.
Okay. So at the gate, there's a stand.
Right.
And the stand has a keypad where you can punch a number to open the gate. Okay.
Right.
But there's also a Ring camera, a Ring doorbell camera that's right next to that. Okay. So when somebody wants to get into the gate, they push the doorbell for the Ring doorbell camera. Okay. And then that will ring onto your parents' devices on their tablets or their phone. So then they can look at their phone and say, oh, that's my beautiful daughter, Lynn. I'll let her in. And then they click a button with the Ring camera, and then that opens the gate.
Okay. And does that run off of Wi-Fi, or what does that run off? Battery?
It'll run off of Wi-Fi, not battery. They do have a battery-powered one. But this is something that the reason why I'm familiar with this is I have this type of setup at one of my homes, and where it is a Ring doorbell, it's set up on Wi-Fi. You could do the same, but we'd have to get Wi-Fi out to that gate. So this may be a little bit too complicated than just getting a outdoor security camera, something that is maybe $200 and it's going to have a $10 a month data plan. And that would probably be the best way if you're trying to keep costs down. But if you're looking for something that is more tech elegant and maybe easier for them to handle and having those notifications come on their phone, that's when it's like, okay, we're going to come up with a better solution that will work at that gate. So it's totally up to you on how you want to do this. I don't know your mom and dad, but it's, you know, they're older adults. We want to make things as easy for them as possible. And to keep it more cost effective. Now the Ring doorbell camera setup, that's going to be more money. It will be more money.
Right.
Because we're looking at more devices versus just getting an outdoor security camera that's solar powered and spending $10 a month.
So you would still have to get a plan with that solar powered camera.
Correct.
And would it give them notifications on their phone?
Yes, it would. Yes. What they'll get is notifications whenever motion is detected. And so why don't we do this? Let me send you off some links to a camera that you can take a look at over on Amazon. We'll send you some links to their website as well, the maker of these cameras, so that you can take a look at, see if this works for your mom and dad. And if you want to pursue that more complicated solution, but in the end might make things a little bit easier. We always have that upfront, oh gosh, do we really want to do this for the long term? Just let me know and be happy to connect you with one of our IT geniuses, John, who can kind of walk you through all of this step by step. And we do this, by the way, inside the Commando community. So if you ever have one of these complicated questions, you're like, oh, I want to do it this way or that way, is just know that you can always drop your questions right inside the Commando community. You can sign up by heading over to commando.com. And again, there is a membership, but you do get a 30-day free trial for you to see if it's what it's all about. Hey, Lynn, hold on. We're going to send you out those links. And thank you for your kind words about the show. And also thank you for your call. Now, speaking of Wi-Fi, if you're trying to get your Wi-Fi to like a she shed or a man cave or a barn or whatever it may be, over at commando.com. So do a search for Ubiquiti. That's U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-I. It's a solution that I used myself to get my internet connection, or actually my neighbor's internet connection, 1,800 feet to me, so that I could use it on a house that I was building absolutely free. I was on his Wi-Fi. Again, it's Ubiquiti. It's a great, great solution for that, especially if you're trying to get it, say, you know, more than 20 feet, 30 feet. I actually got his connection 1,800 feet through a canyon over to the house that I was building. All right, picture this. A storm hits, cell phone service drops, and then everything goes dark. You feel isolated with no way to call for help. But in that darkness, there may be a glimmer of hope. What? Yes, your Wi-Fi. Even if those cell phone towers are out, you may still be able to reach out to loved ones and emergency services by using your home Wi-Fi network. Here's how it works. Now, your ISP has backup power for situations just like this. That means for a limited time, you could still access the internet even during a power outage. But here's the critical part. Your modem and your router, they will need power too. So that's why an external backup battery comes into play. You need one of those. Once you get one, plug your modem and router into one so that this way they can stay powered even after everything else goes dark. So then you can use Wi-Fi based apps like FaceTime or Skype to send texts, make calls, do things like that. Yeah, I know. Knowledge is power. Hey, be sure to tell three friends about the Kim Komando Show and my podcast, because everyone needs more tech smarts, and knowledge is power. And don't forget to sign up for my free newsletters over at getkim.com.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.